You hear plenty of conversations here about efforts to protect significant natural places, scenic or otherwise important pieces of land and important waterways. The Federal Land and Water Conservation Fund, LWCF, has played a part in many preservation efforts over 50-plus years. And stop me if you've heard this, the LWCF faces extinction. We had a similar conversation 3 years ago, and Congress acted then to keep LWCF alive until now. It will have to act again, or LWCF will cease to exist on October 1st, the start of the next federal fiscal year. Let's catch up on the fund's significance and supporters. Two guests with us. Adam Sowards is an assistant professor of history at the University of Idaho. Adam, thank you for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
Ben Gruhl's with us as well. He is the Washington and Oregon State Director for the Wilderness Society. Thank you for joining us, Ben.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, Jeffrey.
Sure. Adam, let's start with you. Give us a little history lesson here and about how the LWCF got started.
Sure. Happy to do that. After World War II, Americans hit the roads and wanted to do some outdoor recreation, and the numbers were just sort of astronomical, and none of the federal land agencies were really quite prepared for it. And in the 50s, President Eisenhower asked Congress to look into outdoor recreation and created an Outdoor Recreation Resources Review Commission in 1958. And that commission recommended a fund be created. And in 1964, on the same day that President Johnson signed the Wilderness Act, he also signed this Land and Water Conservation Fund Act. And in the 50-some years since, it has spent billions of dollars to acquire new lands for outdoor recreation, everything from little pockets of inholdings in wilderness areas and national parks to funding with state partners, you know, the local picnic shelter at your city park. So it's been a very popular program. When it passed Congress, only a single person, one in the Senate and one in the House, voted against the law. So it's been a bipartisan, popular program. It's spanned the country, east and west, rural and urban. It's been really a fantastic success program in a whole lot of ways.
So, Adam, was it a package deal with the Wilderness Act?
Well, not technically a package deal, although Wayne Aspinall, who was the powerful chair of the House Interior Committee, wanted this as a counterpart. So it was a complement to the Wilderness Act, a way to also be putting some money toward urban recreation, and also to put some investment, federal investment, into places outside the West, because the Wilderness Act was initially almost entirely focused in the western part of the country. So it did complement the Wilderness Act well.
Okay, a chance to spread things around a bit. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So Ben Gruhl, I mean, you were at the Wilderness Society. Did the money for the LWCF lead to any further wilderness creation, or is it more general use kind of places?
Both, Jeffrey. I think we've, you know, over the 50 years for which the fund has been in existence, as Adam mentioned, it's created everything from baseball and soccer fields to community centers, local parks, but it also has expanded wilder areas that are both within or adjacent to wilderness areas. And so it's a very multi-use tool that has been, as Adam mentioned, historically very popular. When it was enacted, it had one vote that went against it, and that bipartisan support has continued today. In a time where we have this hyper-partisanship in our politics, we continue to see that the Land and Water Conservation Fund is popular, in that, you know, the program continues to have to allow Americans to enjoy the great outdoors and the public lands that they own. So I would say it does everything from making sure that Little League baseball teams have a place to play baseball, but it also is a great place for hunters and fishermen to get outdoors and be able to experience and access great wildlife habitat.
What is the effect on taxpayers, Ben?
Well, this is the beauty of the Land and Water Conservation Fund, and some of the genius behind its creation in 1965 is that it has absolutely zero effect on taxpayers, and that the fund is actually originally was created to use funds from offshore oil and gas leasing. So as funds come through into the federal coffers from offshore oil and gas, it's reinvested into natural resources and for the enjoyment of all Americans. And so it has absolutely zero impact on taxpayers, And it's really one of the more forward-thinking elements of the Land and Water Conservation Fund when it was created.
Does it also get used for match money? I mean, is LWCF money used to engender other pots of money to come forth and plunk down some bucks?
It is. It is, indeed. There's a portion of the Land and Water Conservation Fund that is used for state matches. So both in Oregon and California, you have state programs that use federal Land and Water Conservation Fund funding as a match for local and state projects.
So Adam Sowards, then, if there's all this great use for the Land and Water Conservation Fund, it doesn't cost the taxpayers any money. It passed so overwhelmingly the first time. Why does we keep getting to this situation where it looks like it's at death's door?
That's a really good question. And I think it has to do with a broader anti-public lands agenda with certain members of Congress, or Republican members of Congress. They tend to be in the West, but not entirely in the West. And I think that the Land and Water Conservation Fund gets grouped with other programs that are more controversial in the public, and it gets then tainted with the same color. And those who are against broader federal conservation efforts make it sound just like other things, and it's going to jeopardize private property and all of these sorts of things that can rally a conservative base, especially in the West. Most of these, I think, are scare tactics that aren't in fact true. Rob Bishop is now the chair of the House Natural Resources Committee, essentially in the same line as Wayne Aspinall, who I mentioned earlier. And he's a big opponent to most federal land policy and the progress we've made in that. And so he seems to be the leading opponent to the Land and Water Conservation Fund. But he does have, there are Republican colleagues who do push back against him. And I think that that's an important thing for us to recognize. But people who have, or members of Congress who have those chair positions have an awful lot of power. And Bishop right now is one of those.
We're talking about the Land and Water Conservation Fund, the LWCF, here on the Jefferson Exchange, which, unless something changes, will expire with the end of the current fiscal year on September 30th of 2018. And it will take an act of Congress. You've heard this before. It'll take an act of Congress to revive it. And we're talking to Adam Sowards, a University of Idaho Associate Professor of History. He's also a columnist for High Country News. Our other guest is Ben Gruhl, who is with the Wilderness Society as the Washington and Oregon State Director. I would invite you to call, but our phone system is not yet operational for outside calls. I do have the email folder open, so if you want to send some emails along, feel free to do those. Those go to jx@jeffnet.org. So Adam Sowards, the land Standard Water Conservation Fund did expire effective October 1st, 2015, didn't it?
It did, for a very short time, and Congress was able to patch together a compromise to fund it for three more years. And one of the things that the proponents of the Land and Water Conservation Fund are trying to do this time around is to fund it permanently so that we're not going through this every few years and having these stopgap measures to continue it, but to just take care of this once and for all.
Well, and so what are some of the obstacles, Ben Gruhl, in having it funded permanently, particularly since it doesn't come from taxpayer money?
That's a great question. I mean, I think the biggest obstacle is Adam mentioned earlier, is there are some ideological opponents who I think have lumped the Land and Water Conservation Fund unfairly into other controversial programs. And therefore have been, you know, vocal opponents to what is a very popular program. The vocal minority, I think, is maybe the best way to put it. But as mentioned prior, there's strong support across the aisle for permanent reauthorization of the Land and Water Conservation Fund. In fact, some of our strongest proponents come from the same party where a lot of the vocal opposition is coming from. And so, you know, moving forward, I think the biggest opportunity, and I think if for folks and for the American public who want to see the Land and Water Conservation Fund permanently reauthorized, it's a great opportunity for folks to contact Senator Wyden, Senator Merkley, or Senator Harris, and Senator Feinstein, and just let them know that this is something that, as a citizen of the United States, you really care about. And so I think, this public support that we see constantly through polls and we see visibly through rallies and other events for our public lands, I think the big opportunity, and I think the light at the end of the tunnel, is that the American people really do care about the Land and Water Conservation Fund. It's incredibly popular, and people care about their public lands. And so I think ultimately that public support, I think, will prevail.
Adam Sowards, is there any prickliness created by the Land and Water Conservation Fund's broad definition of the land and water it's conserving? I mean, we talked about everything from wilderness areas to Little League fields. So, I mean, that's a fairly broad mission.
It is a broad mission, and I think that that's one of the reasons that it's attractive, actually. And those opponents that have been so vocal and not willing to extend this really, I think, zero in, especially on the federal land acquisition part of the fund, because for many of these people, they don't believe in federal lands and don't believe that the West especially should have any more land controlled by the federal government. And so that's for them a non-starter. But as Ben was saying, the American public does not feel that way. The American public loves their public lands, loves to be out there doing all the things that they do, angling, fishing, hiking, all manner of other sorts of things as well. And this Land and Water Conservation Fund supports all of that. And it also supports, you know, these urban centers for communities, especially communities of color that do not have traditionally a whole lot of support in investment for things like outdoor recreation. So this is a really good opportunity to help diversify opportunities and experiences for all Americans.
Is there any concern, I want to get very topical here, about the recent pardon that the president gave to the ranchers at the center of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge dispute? I mean, that was very much about how much land the federal government controls and how that land is used and how the people of the country get to use that land. Are you concerned at all that this might actually turn up some heat and turn down support for the LWCF? Ben?
My guess is that the two issues are not going to be are not going to merge in the public discussion, but I may be wrong on that. It's hard to predict a whole lot right now.
Adam, go ahead.
Oh, this is Ben jumping in here. I think that I agree with Adam that I think that there's unlikelihood for a connection. You know, I think my bigger concern is that the pardon will embolden those who are working to dismantle our larger system of public lands. And that as we see special interests working to take away our national heritage, this will be viewed as a victory in that effort, which is my larger concern.
I was looking at the numbers here by state as we talk about the Land and Water Conservation Fund and its usage over the years. And it looks like, and I'm not sure how recent these figures are, but LWCF has invested more than $305 million in Oregon and more than $2.4 billion a billion with a B in California. So that's a lot of money spread around the country. What are we talking about, though, for an annual dollar figure? Ben, let me take that one.
Sure. I think when you look at the annual dollar figure, I mean, it's fluctuated pretty dramatically as we've seen different levels of funding come through for the overall Land and Water Conservation Fund nationally. But we generally, are seeing that state by state, it just depends on the year to year based on what the appropriation is in the context of the authorization. I think this year, in Oregon, I believe the number was a little bit over 10 million. It's hopefully we'll continue to see that number come up. I mean, I think one other element in the context of the investment that we like to see is that, outdoor recreation in Oregon is really good for business in general, and that we see annually around outdoor recreation supporting about 172,000 direct jobs and $16.4 billion in consumer spending. So regardless of the amount of actual appropriations that we see in Oregon and Northern California, the Land and Water Conservation Fund is a great investment in supporting local economies.
We have a couple of emails here. The first one from Emerald, Note Town Given. Emerald writes, "I love Oregon more than any other state. I would like to ask a question because I care so much about public land. Can you answer for me, how does the LWCF impact local communities and economies?" I think we've talked about that generally. Adam, are there any real specific examples you can think of that would help Emerald understand?
I think there's lots, and I'm not a local Oregonian, so I won't be able to do a real good job.
Oh, but near you, I mean, is fine. Yeah.
Well, gosh, I mean, this is really the silliest example I can think of, but the park where I walk my dog every morning has a picnic shelter that was paid for in part with the Land and Water Conservation Fund. But then within about an hour drive of me, there's about 50-some thousand acres that were put into a certain conservation easement to help protect forest land to continue to be able to harvest timber, but also to prevent second home development. So this is it's part of their forest legacy program that the Land and Water Conservation Fund helps contribute to. And so it's everything from working landscapes to local picnic shelters to acquiring land along wild and scenic rivers or along the national trail system like the Pacific Crest Trail. So it really, it's a really unusual and unique law in how big a really swath of land that it can help cover.
So not a silly example at all. I was actually looking for just that sort of thing, where by the places where people, you know, where their kids play baseball or where you walk your dog, and the answer is yes.
Right.
Yeah, we're talking to Adam Sowards, a University of Idaho Associate Professor of History. He's also a High Country News columnist. Ben Gruhl is the Washington and Oregon State Director for the Wilderness Society, and we're talking about the reauthorization or not of the Land and Water Conservation Fund, or LWCF, which spreads money, millions of dollars a year across the country for things from parks where you walk your dog to wilderness areas. You can join the conversation by email only, as a couple of people have, jx@jeffnet.org. Other email here is from Mike in Portland, who says, over the 4th of July and subsequent weekend, my family and I enjoyed four amazing days of backpacking in the Strawberry Wilderness in Northeast Oregon, a very special place that I imagine was created in part by the Land and Water Conservation Fund. I have a sense that most, if not all, Oregonians benefit from projects that LWCF has funded without knowing about it. It would be a shame if this fund expires without Congress taking action. Besides contacting our representatives and two senators, who I expect are nearly all supportive of the fund, not sure about Representative Walden, is there anything we can do on social media or beyond to bring attention to this fund? More people should know what is at risk. That from Mike in Portland, and I'll send that one to you, Ben Gruhl.
Yeah, actually, I also spent my holiday weekend in northeastern Oregon. It's one of my favorite parts of the Pacific Northwest. So to answer that question, I think, you know, experiences are a great way to talk about and advocate for the Land and Water Conservation Fund, whether that's in a parcel or a park that was created through the Land and Water Conservation Fund, or if it's an experience in a wilderness area. I think sharing that experience on social media and also along with sharing those photographs or detailing the experience that you had in the outdoors, talking about the fact that the Land and Water Conservation Fund is a key tool in ensuring that those opportunities are available for all Americans. Adam earlier mentioned the benefit to creating parks and urban spaces, and that's one of the beauties behind the Land and Water Conservation Fund, is that it helps create outdoor opportunities and spaces and parks for not only that experiences in wilderness areas in remote parts of the West, but also all the benefits that parks and community spaces have, health benefits, especially for folks who may not have a wilderness area in their backyard, who may not be able to access that, may not have a vehicle. So the more that word gets out around the Land and Water Conservation Fund, and the more that you can use your own personal experiences on social media to promote the fund, the better.
And the reference to Representative Greg Walden in there, do you know what his position tends to be on LWCF? Either one of you?
I don't.
Okay.
I think Representative Walden has been skeptical at best regarding the Land and Water Conservation Fund over the years. So he would be a great example where on social media you want to reference and tag Representative Walden and use the hashtag SaveLWCF. That would be a great opportunity to be an activist and advocate on behalf of the fund.
Does it take a lot of horse trading in Congress to get to reauthorization? It looks like in 2015, the last time this happened, it got tied up in things like oil industry worker training and chemical regulation and other, you give me this, I'll give you that kinds of things.
Well, I think that's the way Congress always works. In 2015, when they were trying to do this, Representative Bishop had an alternative bill, and I don't know if he's still trying to push that bill or not. But one of the things that's interesting, if you go and look at it, the second highest allocation of money in that bill had to do with promoting more oil and gas exploration. So he was trying to take the Land and Water Conservation Fund and use it for different purposes than what it historically has been doing.
So, Adam, do you think that, there will be a reauthorization? Do you think it'll be one of those deals where Congress finally gets to? I mean, they spent several months without the Children's Health Insurance Program this year. So not in a hurry, it seems like, to do a few things in Congress. Not terribly surprising through recent congressional history. But, I mean, do you think LWCF will get reauthorized at some point?
Well, I hope so. Trying to predict what Congress does is, of course, a fool's errand, and so I'd hate to do that. But I hope that the American public understands how much this fund helps them and how much they appreciate it, and let their representatives and senators know that. And perhaps we can get this done, and perhaps we can get it done on a permanent basis so that we don't have to keep doing this every few years.
And Ben Grill, what are your thoughts, and does the election year help or hurt?
Well, I think I agree with Adam that it's, in this stage, it's very difficult to predict what Congress will do. But I think, going back to the previous comment, that, you know, I'm confident that, you know, due to the broad bipartisan support and the support that we see for the fund from the American people, that that we'll be able to see a bill move forward, and likely, as Adam mentioned, as part of some package before the expiration. And hopefully it is that permanent reauthorization, so that we don't need to continue to go through this exercise every 3 years. You know, I'm confident that that Congress will act, and maybe I'm being a little bit over optimistic, but I feel like that, like I said, that this the broad and the overarching support that we see for this program and the Land and Water Conservation Fund will move it forward.
All right,
hopefully before the expiration.
Ben Grill, Washington and Oregon State Director for the Wilderness Society. Adam Sauer is a University of Idaho Associate Professor of History. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.